Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
We lucked out. We got tickets to see Justin Biebs.
Yeah, we're very excited about that. We were like dragging him to filth the day before because his rider was released.
Oh my God.
Let's talk about this. Let me look at this rider. So he needs 10 luxury sedans, 12 white handkerchiefs, 2 buses, a jacuzzi, and a partridge in a pear tree. He also needs 10 containers that will have a ping pong table, a PlayStation, an IOHawk, which is that moving hoverboard, a sofa set, a washing machine, a refrigerator, wardrobe cupboard, a massage table that will be used backstage.
Can I just say something really quick?
Sure.
All of this sounds like he like got stoned, watched The Price is Right, and I was like, can you guys give me all the prizes on this show and have that be my rider?
Yeah.
What do you need a fucking wardrobe for?
He needs a special Indian yoga casket containing aromatic essential oils, jasmine, rose, and camphor incense sticks, and books on chakras and yoga asanas will be placed in Bieber's suite, knowing his love for yoga.
Okay, no, because he's going to have time to do all this fucking reading when he's in Duluth and just did a 3-hour show.
Oh, yeah?
You betcha.
Well, it's disrespectful because this is, like, for his trip to India. Like, this isn't for Duluth.
Right.
Like, this shit would never happen in America. He also needs 100 hangers, cans of wild berries and vanilla room fresheners,
hydrating
lip balms.
Okay, how long is he going to be in India? It better be longer than Julia Roberts was in Eat, Pray, Love. Otherwise, this is outrageous. Fuck.
Hey, guys, gals, gender nonconforming individuals, it looks like it's time for us to say bye-bye.
It's something unpredictable, but in the end it's right. I hope you have the time of your life. Wow, wow, wow.
Gosh, I love that song. It's so iconic.
I love that. That was... Did you just burp?
Yeah.
I love that song too, but also that singing is ridiculous. Anyway, guys, this was a long way to say we are signing off for the season. Season 3 is in the camp, babies.
But don't worry, we'll be giving you lots of bone bones, a.k.a. bonus episodes to enjoy all summer long.
Bone, 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 bone. Tell me what you're gonna do with the two dope queens. Just live your life, but still.
I'm going to be honest. I don't like when your voice hits that low of a register when you sing.
But that's like my signature is
I
to
know.
Go that low.
And it really bothers me. It keeps me up at night.
Why? That's like a note.
Like,
it's
do it
note.
Again. Do it again.
What you gonna do with a tune-up queen?
I think I don't like that you insist on doing it and you don't quite have a grasp on it. And I don't like how clear it comes out with how little breath you have when you get that low. It's really upsetting. Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like how loud it is. And I feel like it doesn't deserve to be that loud because your voice is so frail when you do that. It's really horrific.
That is like literally why people pay money on StubHub to see me live is because I hit that note. But before we get to the boner episodes, let's talk about this episode, the grand finale of the season, and the special guest we have for you. I'm talking about the one, the only, Mr. Fred Armisen.
He was adorbs in his little glasses and his little shoes and his little jacket and his little face.
He is taller than us, but the way you describe him, it's like he's literally Vern Troyer.
Wow.
Plus, we have Naomi Ekperigin and Eliza Schlesinger. Okay, here it is, babies. The finale.
72-3.
Keep it going for Justin's hair with some blue in it. It's so cool.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. It's just yarn. And what's the best, one of the best things about being a black woman is that you really can change it and become a completely different person. It's called the Rihanna effect.
Yes, that's true.
And for this, I got it actually during a photo shoot. And
no brags.
Yeah, fuck me, right? I know, but...
That was like, I got my,
for fact.
During a photo shoot, that's like, yeah, I had like a great like dinner while getting eaten out. I mean...
But anyway, I got it during a photo shoot, but recently I went to a photo shoot, and you know, it's always a toss-up where you don't know if there's going to be like a white lady on set trying to figure out what the fuck is up with this.
Yes.
And it's really like, I guess soul-crushing and horrific would be a good phrase for it. But also, it's really, like, sad. And there's nothing worse than, like, showing up and being like, I'm so excited about my photo shoot, and then having a woman, like, try and, like, put a flat iron on your edges or something.
No, I've been there.
It's really upsetting.
It's so ignorant.
It is, because
it's
I feel
like,
as a black person, if you... grow up in a middle class or upper middle class situation, you have to learn about white shit. Like, I have to know what a keratin treatment is. You know what I mean? We have to know about bar class.
Right.
But
like, we have to, like, watch fucking ER. Like, we had to do that.
You gotta get the canon shit for white people.
Yeah.
And I feel like when you go on set and you know it's me, you look me up, I'm not having like basketball wives hair, like it's not flowing, like Real Housewives of Atlanta. You know this is some shit we gonna have to work through together.
Yeah.
And so I hate when I get to a set and the woman is just like really like this is like her trying to figure out like Breaking Bad season one, like what's the formula? How do we get it exact?
It's so infuriating because it's like, just pretend like it's okay. Just pretend like it's like when no matter like what a guy's penis looks like, when I see it for the first time, I'm like, great.
Yeah.
Exactly what I wanted.
This is the most normal dick.
Just do that with my hair. It's exactly what you wanted.
Yep. You're like, what a dick, you know? And that's your dick. And it is such a vulnerability, I think, with my hair, my edges, that dude and his dick after your Tinder date. It's such a vulnerability there. And it's like, this is the real me. Yeah. I would appreciate if you acted like if you just went okay and you didn't go like negative with it, you know? Or do the other thing where you're overcompensating and be like, this is the best hair I've ever seen.
Yeah. Wait, so a white lady put the blue yarn in?
She did. Actually,
I'm impressed.
Yeah, and it felt like brain surgery. It felt like Grey's Anatomy. All the students are watching up and then you're looking down because they were so stressed out about it.
Oh my God.
And they were like, just take it and twist it. Just twist it, Cynthia. Twist it. And so I'm just sitting, and my main concern is like, you know, I don't want it tight. I don't want anything tight on my edges.
Right.
My main concern is like, let's just make sure we're comfortable here. But they're just looking and just like, like they've never been here before.
Yeah, it's
tough. And then like the tips of this got flat ironed on one photo shoot.
What?
I was like, why?
You can't do
don't
that.
Hit it with a flat iron. Why would you? What do you want me to look like?
God, that's rough.
It was pretty booty city.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
What about you? What's your experience on photo shoots?
So I just did a photo shoot for Wild Fang for
That's hot.
Which is cool. And it was it was an all white production. Uh-huh. And but
like that's a title card at the end of a movie. It's like Harvey Weinstein, all white production. Like La La Land's intro, yeah.
Yeah, it was It was La La Land. It was literally La La Land.
Yeah. Wild Thing's fucking
and,
awesome.
And it was like cool. They were great. Uh-huh. And she like did her research. She was like, I love your hair. Like, what do you want to do today? Like, she asked me what I wanted.
That's hot.
And then they were also like, we have some ideas. Like they clearly went to like black hair Instagrams.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
For like cool like architecture yeah. stuff. Yeah. And I was like, my edges
like
are jacked.
Like Melanin Art, like at Melanin Art.
Yeah, they yeah. were like on it. So it was like a really nice experience. And when I was like, can you please gel down my edges, she knew what that meant.
Yes, gaga.
Yeah.
She knew.
She was like, yeah, I'm on it. I see what's going on here. And I was like, thank you. That was like a subtle like
yeah.
acknowledgement without being disrespectful.
Yeah.
It's great. They matched the like foundation perfectly on
Get
your face.
Get the fuck out of here.
She was great.
Some
was
people
really
like,
good.
I once did a fashion show. And they had to
Hello?
Call...
Hello, Fashion Week? I'm going to kill myself? Okay.
Anyway, they had to call the head makeup artist. And
ooh, that's cool.
It was cool until it got bad. And
what?
He was like, okay, everybody, come here. I'm going to show you how to do this. And
oh,
it
no.
was like a whole circle of people. And he like grabs my arm. He's like, look, you see this right here? We're trying to match this. We're going to try and get this
What is
here.
This, a fucking swatch department at Home Depot? I'm not remodeling, like, my study. Like, what are you doing?
This is Benjamin Moore blue ice. And we're going to line it up on the wall. But it
oh
was, like,
God.
Very dehumanizing, if you will.
Yeah.
That was a damn mess.
That's
I know people were getting paid a ton of money. You should know.
But did you have fun at your lady? Because it was for what, Cosmo?
Allure.
Ooh. That's very grown up. That is very much for an audience who has
definitely,
money.
Definitely.
Ready to buy products.
I'm going to go to Anthro. That's
yes.
my flea market.
Right.
Anthropology is my bazaar.
Right.
I'm going to Goop.
Go to Goop.
I'm going to buy my Allure.
Right.
So I did Allure, and then I did Cosmo before that. And Cosmo was awesome because it was here. And it was at, like, the Ace Hotel downtown,
Whoa.
Which I fucking love that hotel. And then it was, like, this the woman who does my hair, she's, like, this braid wizard. Like, she literally does Brandy, which means there's no more of a braid wizard than
That's
a woman
cool.
who does Brandy's braids. And so it was incredible because I suggested her, and so she came to set, and she was, like, fucking Dumbledore like level magic where she
and
was just like whipping
now.
Shit up. Right, because you're reading the story.
Yeah.
But she was like whipping shit up. She was putting like threads in there and shit.
That's
and
cool.
Everybody was like amazed. It was really iconic.
Okay. This weekend I am getting my hair done by like a celebrity hairstylist. She does Zoe Ooh. Kravitz's hair.
What's your hair gonna be?
So I'm gonna get like braids, but I'm also gonna get bangs. So I'm gonna go back to having
Ooh.
Bangs.
Are you getting braided bangs or are
yes,
they out?
Yes, braided bangs.
Fuck, that's so living single, dude.
Yeah.
I'm ready for it.
Yeah. I'm a 90s kind of world.
Oh, great, I got
my girl. You have a movie coming
I
out.
I do. I'm so excited. I have a movie. Called The Incredible Jessica James. I play the character Jessica James, no braggies. And we took it to Sundance, and now it's going to premiere on Netflix July 28th, which is very exciting.
That's huge.
Yeah, it's very,
that's huge.
Very
huge.
Anyway, I'm really excited about that. That was a fun experience. Thank you, everybody, for clapping when I mentioned it.
I'm very excited about it because you have a sensual scene in it.
I do. And you know what?
I want to come over to your apartment and just sit next to you and watch it. Like elbows to elbow, just touching like this and be like, when were you tremoring?
Did you say tremoring?
Yeah, like your vagina was like tremor.
Oh, cool. All right, cool. So that didn't happen. Also, my dad is here.
Sorry. I'm so sorry.
He should know because it's going to happen.
You know
our
what
brand,
it is.
This is our brand, Dad. Get used to it, man. But anyway, that was like probably right. for the movie, that was probably the thing I was most nervous about filming. Yeah. And I had a really great partner filming it, which was really nice.
Cool.
And it was not sexual because it was really hot. And then it was like a room full of like 15 white dudes. Like one of them's like eating a Clif Bar.
They're just like
holding like a microphone over a sound box. So it wasn't like super sensual. It was more just like a really sweaty series of apologies with acting in between.
That's so cool.
But, you know, I would imagine that sometimes, like, I could see as an actor how you can get twisted up in the game, like right. how a Mr. and Mrs. Smith situation would happen.
Right.
I could see how that could
Right,
could
because,
happen.
Like, even though you're acting, your body is your body.
It's Yeah. And it's your wonderland, right. you know?
Yeah. All right, we should get this show started because we have a jam-packed show for you guys. We're very excited to have our next act on. She is a Two Dope Queens fan favorite.
Everybody loves her. We do too.
She's been a writer on Broad City, on Difficult People. She has a Comedy Central half-hour special out.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Naomi F. Harrigan!
Oh my God. Oh my God. La La Land, what are you doing? You guys, you're looking all fine. Y'all, I can't take LA. Y'all look like sexy vampires. I can't. I feel like I'm walking the streets like in a CW drama. You know what I mean? I can't be sure, but I believe CW stands for Caucasian Woes. You know? Like, you know what I mean? It's literally either like a comic book or a sexy vampire having a struggle. Every episode, a sexy vampire struggle. I love it. I'm like, oh, you're so old, you know? But then, y'all, it's like ridiculous. I just got here last night from New York. So I'm like, I got up today and it was like this. I felt the sun was very aggressive. I felt like the sun was very like, I dare you to be depressed. Do you know what I mean? And I was like, I will see your dare and raise you. You know what I'm saying? But it felt like a lie. And then when I was in the car, I feel like even the hobos in LA are fine. They all fucking just tanned and fucking sinewy. You know? It's like, bitch, you in CAA? What you doing up in here? You know, like, all the hobos are signed. All the hobos are signed. And it's too much for me. I'm like, glasses, no glasses. Am I a lady? Am I worthwhile? It's too much. All I know is I'm getting avocado on that, you know? That's what I do here. I get avocado on that here. That's what I do when I'm in LA. I live that avocado life. You guys, thank you for coming out. I really need this multi-culti safe space. I need this multi-culti safe space. I need it. I need it. I have clocked the brown people. I have clocked it. I am into it. There are hair stories. I feel safe. You got to do this shit. It's so stressful. Ever since 11/9, it's been so fucking stressful. You know what I mean? Everybody's on edge, you know? Like, it's like very triggered. It's like, honey, I see a lacrosse stick. I got to stand back, you know? I was just in Boston last weekend. They all fucking got a fleece pullover. They all look like they've just come from the gym and have so much hope. And I hated it. I fucking hated it. You know, like the level of tension, it just feels like if America was a character in a movie, like this moment in time, it would be the moment when America coughs into a rag and then pulls it away and sees blood, you know? You know what I'm talking about. You know that moment. You know that moment. It's like, America girl, you got the consumption. You need to get your affairs in order. This is act three, you know? That's how it feels. This level of tension is very stressful. I don't know. What I'm doing now, you know, it's about self-care. It's about self-care right now, okay? And so a lot of what I'm doing a lot of true crime, okay? I am. I'm watching it. I'm podcasting it. And, you know, if you don't understand, let me say it. Because nothing helps put your shit in perspective like true crime. Because I was like legit watching this true crime about a lady who was kept in a fucking box for a week and a half. And it was like, I'm fine. You know? It's like, bitch is in a box. I'm worried about a text. You know, so it's very important. It's like, okay, I'm not living that box life. So I'm doing great. And you need that perspective. You need the perspective. It's too easy to feel like you're a victim. Then you realize someone's in a box. I was watching one where like the husband had killed his wife, Natch, okay, if you know these programs. If you know these programs, it's classic, you know? And they were a wealthy family and they had a babysitter, and this is the point, they can't find her, and they asked someone calls the babysitter, they're like, you know, like, have you seen Deborah? And the babysitter was like, no, I haven't, but you know what? She's probably locked in the basement of the Hamptons house. Okay, let me explain, okay? Okay, if you don't watch true crime, normally how it goes is the husband kills the wife and then everybody's giving testimonials like, they seem so happy, you know, like they were in love. What I love is that like, somebody knew Deborah's ass was in the basement from the jump. You know what I'm saying? It was like, no, Deborah in the back. I done called the police several times. I have left voicemails letting them know Deborah's ass is probably in the basement. You know? And it makes me feel a lot better about when I get mad at Jubu not doing dishes. Jubu is my Jewish boo if you did not know my true. Thank you. Thank you. I will be a Jewish wife. Is anybody here chosen? Okay, excellent. Can we talk about Passover for a hot ass minute? Because I just had my Passover with Jubu's family. Okay, and my issue is like, I feel like what I got from Passover is like if Judaism had a slogan, it would just be like, Judaism, taste the sadness. You know? Like, I legit ate some celery dipped in salt water to remind me of the tears of my ancestors. Okay, chosen people. Listen, I get it, like hashtag never forget, you know? But I just feel like, you know, if I done made it through, this is the new, you know, I don't know, the new generation, everybody survived. Why we gotta drink tears? Why can't we just be like, we alive, let's eat pancakes. You know what I'm saying? It was horrible. Fuck it. And then I was the youngest person at the Seder, so I had to find the Afikoman. Now for you non-chosen people, the Afikoman is basically a matzah, which is a dry cracker in some tissue. And I had to run around looking for this. Luckily, I watched enough procedurals. I was able to bring my intellect into it. But I was so, like, stressed out about it. And then after I said to Jubu, I was like, why they make me look for the goddamn Afikoman? This is an activity for, like, a six-year-old, you know? And he goes, well, you could have just said no. I was like, my black ass can't be up in Seder saying no. You know what I'm saying? I can't be rolling up very guess who's coming to Seder situation. Being like, I don't think so. No, my black ass had gefilte fish. You know? You guys are wonderful. That's my time. Bless your hearts.
Give it up for Naomi F. Berrigan, the Khaleesi from New York City. Just wants a procedural.
This message comes from Two Dope Queens sponsor, BetterHelp. When you keep your stress bottled up, it can eat away at you. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to make them better. Try BetterHelp Online Therapy, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp at betterhelp.com/dopequeens today to get 10% off your first month.
The archives at Carnegie Hall hold treasures from our cultural history. In the new podcast, If This Hall Could Talk, we use these items as touchstones to explore how the past shaped the world we live in today. I'm your host, Jessica Vosk, and I'll be joined by historians, performers, cultural critics, and others to look back at the iconic venue's legendary and sometimes quirky history. If This Hall Could Talk, from Carnegie Hall and distributed by WQXR. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
You know, Jess and I have been doing a lot of shows. I feel like we've done like close to like...
1,000?
I was going to say like 80. We do like 80 to 90 shows.
Yeah.
And...
they've all been lit, obviously.
They've all been amazeballs. And...
I hate amazeballs.
You
it's like
lolcat. It.
Like, I can't. Okay.
It's like what?
Like lolcat. Like lolzas. Whatever. Anyway...
who says lolcat?
People say it. And they go awesome sauce. Like shut the fuck up.
I like awesome sauce.
Why? And that's like just literally have ketchup. Like what are you talking about?
Awesome sauce is like even better than catsup.
Anyway,
we have, you know, the show has been just phenomenal. I heard a snort.
What is happening?
Yeah.
Was it you? Who was it?
Yeah.
Oh. Everybody, it's the guy in the Ruka hat,
oh
FYI.
Oh, my God.
Oh, he was so embarrassed.
Wait,
but everybody snitched.
Yeah. What's your name?
Steve.
Oh, Steve.
A Steve ain't never hurt nobody.
I know. Well, Steve Jobs hurt some people.
No.
But
that's what you do to make the goddamn iPhone. It's fine.
Mean,
like, nobody cares that you got your feelings hurt in a meeting.
Don't deny your daughter.
What do you mean, okay. Don't deny
your
daughter?
Have you not seen the movie?
Are you talking about the Michael Fassbender
yes.
one? I only saw the Ashton Kutcher one. I saw the Ashton Kutcher one. I was like, cool, enough of that. Done. And I never touched a Steve Jobs movie ever again.
I'm a hole with Tim Cook.
Oh, I'm
Hi,
sorry.
Tim Cook? Sorry, Jess is disrespectful. No, the Michael Fassbender movie is so riveting.
Because right,
I didn't know Steve Jobs was so controversial.
He is. Yeah, he was. He was a complicated man.
It was intense.
But he gave me the iPhone, so...
But Steve, thank you for being an amazing audience member. What do you do for a living?
He works
in production.
Boots on the ground, baby.
Yes.
Where
are you, a line producer? What do you do?
He's a line producer.
You are a line producer.
How did you do that?
You know how? Because line producers always have perfectly fitted caps like
yes.
that.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Yes. That's amazing. Wait, what do you line produce?
We work at World of Wonder.
Oh, World of Wonder? What is RuPaul like?
RuPaul brings me Murder, She Wrote DVDs.
No!
Okay.
That's my shit.
RuPaul is such a giving person that he brings Murder, She Wrote DVDs to Steve. That's literally so
cool.
Your
life is cool, but...
yeah.
Anyway, back to what we were saying.
Yeah, thanks so much to you guys for supporting
Seriously.
Us.
Seriously.
And, you know, it's two dope queens, and we're like, we want to, like, kind of, like, mix it up. So we've added a third dope queen.
Three. Fucking three dope queens.
And that queen is here tonight. Please give it up for the third dope queen.
Thank you.
Of course.
Oh my God, Fred.
We're like honored to have you.
Hi.
Oh my God, Fred.
Hi.
This is very exciting because I am riding on Portlandia this
yes.
season.
That's right.
So you're my boss.
No, it's not a boss situation.
It is, though.
I don't think so. I think we're all just writing.
But you write
and
the checks, though.
Yes.
Yeah,
I have to write the check.
Those.
And tonight, everybody gets paid. It's a lot of checks.
What's it like to be my boss?
It's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah.
A lot of yelling. Do people still use checks?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
That hasn't disappeared yet?
My sister just like wrote me a check at BevMo. It was very weird.
Oh, really?
I said, why don't you Venmo me? She said, no, I just have to get rid of these checks. And so she wrote me a check. I got a $35
much? Check. $35?
I know. I told her not to do it. But this is somebody who uses a check.
Yeah, they seem flimsy, don't they?
It seems like it could mean nothing. It could just be
it
a piece
be
of
nothing.
Paper.
It's abstract in a way.
Yeah.
And don't you have to like write really hard so that it goes all the way through?
Yes.
Isn't that
yes,
the whole thing?
The second page.
Yeah.
So this is like how Three Dope Queens starts. We talk about the history of checks.
Yes.
It's very, very timely information. But in all seriousness, this is the final season of Portlandia.
Yeah, you guys didn't know that?
Yeah.
It's been announced.
It's like literally, well, like, guys, come on.
Yeah.
We're not breaking news.
We kind of start, you know, we just had this decision. We're like, how long are we going to go? Let's do 8 seasons. But we never made it like a really hard, like, sort of decision. It wasn't like a big announcement, mm-hmm. but it just sort of started turning out that way. So it kind of is, but... who knows?
How do you feel about it? Do you feel a little melancholy?
No. I'm trying to answer in a short way. No. not really, because, you know, we're all still friends. All the writers are friends with each other. So I feel like we'll always work together and always work on something. And, you know, Carrie's my best friend. So we're always working on something.
That's beautiful. That's
but
sweet.
I'm suing her. That's the thing. I'm suing everybody.
Yeah. For
a
what?
General's lawsuit against everyone.
Just a general?
And it's going to be called General. General lawsuit.
It's a bummer.
I'm going to be such a hassle. That's what's going to get me paid.
Whoa.
So what's been like some of your most favorite moments working on the show?
I like doing, there's these characters we do, they're called the Weirdos. It's like these goth, this couple that Karen and I do.
Yeah, yeah.
And they got long black hair and like white ghoulish. And there was a moment where we've done a bunch of sketches. We did one when we went to the beach and we had all our gear on.
Yeah.
Glenn Danzig was there and it was like a dream. And then... and we did one sketch a couple years ago where I was like describing my funeral, and
yeah.
And I wanted to go out as a message to everyone that that's what I really want my funeral to be like a terrifying, scary, horrifying event. So it was like real life and art mixed together.
Yeah.
You know? But also, how do you like it? Are you enjoying it?
I'm having so much fun. It's just
what
like,
if you didn't? And yeah, you just told them.
What if I was like, actually, it's kind of terrible.
Oh my God.
That can
happen though.
I was so nervous.
You didn't seem nervous.
I was. I was like quiet in the beginning.
What?
Yeah, what?
I felt like I was quiet.
No.
I was quiet.
You showed up full confidence.
No, I'm always like, I'm like, I'm not talking enough and like, I'm not cool enough.
No, no.
And then you guys like make all these references to like white things that like I don't know.
Like what? Is it a lot of kombucha?
No, but it's like...
What are you guys doing white? In there?
What are some other references?
It'll be like, can I say?
yeah, please.
Like when you were like, you're like, Jeff Tweedy like texted me and I was like, who is that?
Who is Jeff Tweedy? Is that a made up name or is that a real person?
I had no idea.
Did everybody know who that was?
It was on a group text message, so I just wrote back nothing.
It didn't occur to me. And also, what a white name.
It is, yeah. Like, right?
Tweedy.
Like Tweety Bird, like, I am so sorry.
You should be.
But he's a musician, correct?
He's a heavy hip-hop, South Central, just really...
So he's like, what's up, I'm motherfucking Jeff Tweedy, you ready?
It's heavy stuff. He's the real deal.
Yeah, so Tweety sometimes it just I just don't say anything. I'm like, I don't know.
Oh, that is so funny. That didn't occur to me.
It's
but
okay.
I wonder if everyone else in the room knows... I'll bring it up.
Yeah.
Hey, so we need to have an office meeting. Is that a country singer? Isn't there a Tweety country singer that exists? Conway Tweedy.
Conway Tweedy.
That's what I did.
Conway no. Tweedy.
Different person.
Cool.
Jeff Tweedy's from a band called Wilco, and he's like singer-songwriter.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like we know Wilco because we went to like mostly white colleges.
Right.
Yeah. That you've heard
but
that.
Don't know,
you've heard
we
that.
Don't know the lineup.
Not like you couldn't just put Wilco in front of me.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, that's Jeff.
Yeah.
Right. And it can be right here.
Yeah.
The whole band.
That's Jeff.
There you go.
And that's Jeff.
Yeah. And that's Scott. Is there a Scott in Wilco?
Oh, probably.
No, there's not Scott.
Jeremy.
No, there's a Glenn.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay. That's
always a Glenn on Sirius XMU talking.
Yeah.
A John.
There's always a John.
Yeah. XMU. You guys listen to XMU?
I do, actually. Yeah. I was here and I got to listen to their Coachella coverage for the last 2 weekends. That was really interesting.
Did you
like
it?
It was
oh my
okay,
God,
but I don't. That's
great.
Iconic. You guys,
we jinxed.
But I don't, you know, sometimes I don't like live music.
Live music is weird.
It doesn't sound like I want it.
No. No, you're right.
It's weird.
What?
You're right.
It's live music.
Something is too loud. Everything else is too soft. And also for Coachella, every act, because I listen to the same thing, every single one of them says, Coachella! In the song.
Did Kendrick Lamar do that too? Was he like, Coachella?
I miss Lamar, but I am not exaggerating. Everyone I heard said
that's
it.
That's so funny.
Did anyone go to Coachella? Yeah.
6 people went.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you live to tell the tale. But I don't really like concerts or anything because I feel like stressed out, a little social anxiety. It just doesn't sound
great. I love concerts.
Great.
But what about the act of seeing a person, like a famous person? You're like, that's him or her.
Yeah, him or her. They're doing the thing that I love.
Who's the best act that you guys have ever seen? One of the best.
Prince. Easily Prince.
Yeah. Oh
my easily. God.
I saw Prince at Coachella and that was really life changing.
I mean, there's nothing
that
like
it. That was incredible.
He was head to toe made to perform. So everything he did was incredible.
Wow.
Cool. So anyway, so Prince is he was this artist from the wait, guitar, piano, beautiful voice.
Yes, and yes. It sounds great.
Yeah, we'll fill you in on that.
Did he like make it? Really? Do you have any albums?
Always on the verge.
Wow.
Always on the verge. Record companies were like, one of these days we're gonna get this guy.
It was OTV. Yeah. Always on the verge. What about you? What was one of like the best performances you've ever seen?
When I saw Kanye West, want to say in 2009, it was really incredible.
Yeah,
he was great.
I saw him at Coachella. And it was really funny because Gold Digger had just come out.
Nice.
And he had walked out and he was like, all right, everybody, I'm about to sing Gold Digger, but white people, just so that y'all know, y'all could definitely say the N-word today. That's what the song was made for.
What?
And I felt like a camping site full of white people just unclench at once.
That is
like
not okay.
Releasing of assholes, like, collectively.
That is not what Martin Luther King Jr. wanted.
I know.
That's not
like his
okay.
I Have a Dream wasn't that.
That's
but
at all.
It was nice for him to address, like, the elephant on the field. Right. On the polo field. I liked it. And it's crazy to be a black person in that situation because you're like, oh, so you just gonna make this shit for everybody then?
Yeah. Okay, so can we talk about SNL
a
little bit?
You were like one of my favorite people on SNL ever.
That's really very nice. I really appreciate
it. Cool.
I always watch that. I really do. This sounds like one of those fake humility things to say, but like there's a lot of writers behind it, so they're the ones who kind of make it seem like brilliant. Aww. I'm just saying that's true. I'm telling you.
You know, okay.
So,
if I'm being completely honest,
be completely honest.
You were like one of my least favorites.
Yes. That's what I want to hear.
He sucked.
That's what I want to hear.
No, that's
who was it? Andy Samberg? That's who it was. Wasn't it?
Were you like, well, it was the writers really that?
Yeah, that was the writers.
Yeah,
that
all
brought Andy down.
But yeah, so you were on SNL for what, like
11 years?
Wow,
which is crazy.
11.
Yeah, that's a
crazy.
Long time.
Because from what I know about the show, it seems like it's literally it becomes your life.
It's 24 hours a day.
How do you handle doing that for 11 years?
You kind of don't. It just drains you. You just every moment.
Wonderful. Wow.
It's like you just write and rewrite and rewrite, and then Sunday comes, and already you're thinking of the next week. You're like, it's great. It's like the best thing that ever happened to me.
Aww.
But I loved every minute of it, but it was a full-time job.
Yeah.
So it was like, but it's kind of romantic because like you just write so much and like your eyes are stinging and you can barely talk, but then you feel like you're like a soldier. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're just like, yeah, it's for the show.
Yeah.
Just to backtrack, so you were doing music and then you just decided to switch to comedy? Like, how did that come about?
Well, I was in a band and we were going nowhere. Really. A lot of work. A lot of work. Van, touring everywhere. Wow. And it was just, you know, sometimes some people would show up, but it was like a lot of years of that. I was playing the drums and it's a punk band. And then all of a sudden, I made a video where I was interviewing people at a music festival, and I played different characters. I was like a mentally ill person, a blind person, a deaf person, a German person, and I would just interview bands.
It's a big palette.
Yeah, and I put a video together of it, and I started showing it at these clubs, and more people would turn out for that than the band. I'm serious. It really happened that way. Where
wow.
I was like, oh. So it was a very instant, like, oh, maybe I'll just go this direction. And I just kept getting more and more jobs doing that. So then I was auditioning for SNL and stuff. So it was a good lucky break all the way through.
That's Are you
so
still cool. doing music now?
Yeah, once in a while. I still play, and but more for comedy. Like, I'll do like a fake band or like... It's always. I'm not gonna have a moment of like I'm actually a very serious singer or anything like that. Nobody wants to hear it. No, it's just like. But for fake bands, I like doing it.
Oh, cool.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Do you have any fun like road stories from your time touring?
Yeah. Let's see. Well, there's one that's not so fun.
Great. Excellent.
But the band I was in, Trenchmouth, the singer, we played in...
Wait, Trenchmouth?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, cool.
We played in Las Vegas, and we opened up for this band called Down by Law, and we played in Las Vegas. This is in the 90s, and our singer's black, and all of a sudden we saw that like sort of like neo-Nazis were showing up, like skinheads.
Bummer. Yeah, that's the thing Whoa. About pop music sometimes.
It was
yeah.
shocking. It was shocking, because I heard stories, I was like, that doesn't really happen to people. And they showed up, but was also there was like skinhead girls too, you know,
whoa.
Like that sort of haircut that's like shaved but comes down over here.
Yeah.
And we started playing, and they sort of were Zeke Heiling and stuff, and then we stopped. I was like, well, that's that. And then I went outside, and I was like, I've got to rethink this whole thing, you know.
Wow.
So that was just one of the low points. We had many high points, but
it's weird.
Yeah, but you know.
Yeah. Well, there's no skinheads right. here tonight. That's for sure.
Well, we don't know.
Turn the house lights up. Turn
yeah,
the house
let's
up.
Hit that house light.
Wouldn't that be funny? There's like four over there.
I would be livid. I would be confused and livid.
Two black women joking? What the fuck?
They talking about black hair? Go fuck yourself. Oh,
they're still on stage.
Cool.
Do you have any stories about being on the road? Is there something that's happened to you that like...
I feel like not with Two Dope Queens.
Well, one time we took like a pedicab together really late at night through Austin, Texas.
Uh-huh.
That was a wild time.
That was fun.
It's too slow of a form of transportation, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like
and
bumpy.
And you can feel like whenever they get up and press down on the bike, yeah.
you
can
just
feel
that.
You
feel the work.
Yeah, yeah, it's like feeling the labor.
Yeah, I don't like gross. That. I just like pretending, like when I'm in a lift, I'm like, oh, it's like not really anything. But yeah. like when you feel someone pedaling, you're like, oh,
that's
no.
Right.
The sweat.
Yeah.
Everything.
It's like having your hand on someone's stomach while they're eating.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
There you go. Yes. Yeah. Exactly like yeah. that. Really gross.
I did have one. This was like early on when I was doing stand up, and my friend Jamie Lee and I, we used to travel and do all these shows, and so we went to Boston. And when you start out, yes, Boston, you know,
fucking Boston.
Pros and cons with that city. And I want to say this is like maybe 7 years ago, and when you're starting out early, you just couch surf. And so we're in our 20s, and we, you're just like, oh, I'll just stay at like whatever random dude's like apartment. It's like totally fine. So we stay at this guy's place. We're like sleeping on his couch, and he only had one bath towel. So like, I would like take a shower, dry off my puss, and then pass the towel to her. And so we got really close. I mean, that's friendship. If you can survive that. And like, I like had like cocoa butter on. And so she was like, I am really enmeshed in your life now. And then the other one, the other, so this is on the same trip. So that one night we were staying at this place. And then the second night we're staying at like another male comedian's place. And we walk into his house, and he's like, I'm going to be out of town, so it's totally fine. And we're like, great, we have the house to ourselves. So we walk in downstairs. It's like so neat. Like, there's snacks. We're like, oh, this place is bomb. So we get up to his bedroom. We open the door. There's like a used condom on the ground. You
it's,
know?
It's, I don't understand why both these people felt the need to invite you over. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I only had one towel, I'd be like, people can't come over. That's the crazy part. They're like, look at my towel. That's the hard part.
This sounds pretty brutal. All that stuff sounds pretty brutal.
Yeah, stand-up is not glamorous when you start out.
That sounds really intense.
It's really bad.
Yeah, we're sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. But I'm writing on your show now, so everything worked out. It was all worth it. All worth it. Thank you so much.
Thanks, you guys.
Thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me. Thank you all very much.
Everybody give it up for Brett Armisen!
About 600,000 people go missing every year in the U.S., prompting family members to become amateur detectives. On the trail of one missing person is journalist Tanya Mosley.
Why do you think you hesitated when we first met in telling me the full details about your mother's disappearance?
It's heartbreaking. I didn't want to break your heart.
I'm Kai Wright. Tanya Mosley joins me next time on Notes from America. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
We have to bring up our final comic of the night. I know.
Yep.
But you're going to love it.
So
she's
good.
Fantastic. She tours the country. She is a beast in this game. She has a new show coming out on Tuesday called Truth and Eliza on Freeform. Please give it up for Eliza Schlesinger!
What's up, LA? It's been windy as fuck. It like knocked out all of Thai Town. Like there's nowhere to eat after this. And it's always hard, especially for comedy, to get women to come out when like weather is inclement because we're so tempestuous as it is. We're just like, I just want to stay in. But it's like, let's go. We got to. I'm going to stay inside. Bam. Just stay inside and be cozy. Let's just stay inside and be gross. We get so gross. Guys have no fucking idea. And you're like, no way, my girlfriend's hot. I'm like, give it a minute. Like, it's just, the hotter your girlfriend is, I guarantee you the fucking grosser the center console in her Civic is. Just fucking broken tampons. Tampons that like struggled out of the wrapper. Like, it's me! Why are we still wrapping tampons in paper? Why? I can't think of a more easily penetrable material. May as well wrap your fucking tampons in like cotton candy and well wishes.
There's always crap. There's always pennies with gum glommed onto the side of Lincoln's head. The bottom of your purse is a fucking River Styx. It's just a nightmare. Why is there always a crumbled Nature's Valley granola bar? I don't even eat these things. You stick your hand down there. You come up with oats under your fingernails. You're like, ah! What kind of fucking POW shit is that, Nature's Valley? Under my fingernails? You're like, ow, tasty. Ow, tasty. You stop putting effort in when you get comfortable. Well, that's what, you know, that's what growing closer is. But at the beginning, you are like, when you first start dating someone, it's like, chick, chick, like you are fucking ready, right? Like he comes over and you're like posing around your house like, hey, did you need a drink? Like, we do that. Girls do that. It's like in nature. Like we do it to like get your attention. Like, ah, like we do it. Guys will tell you the story. If you go with the guy, he's like, yeah, I was at a bar and I saw my girl for the first time. I'm like, no, motherfucker, I saw you first. I clocked you. And then I made myself. There's no way. Men don't are not that observant. They can only see like three colors, okay? There's no way. I made you see me. I fucking posted up like to make. And you were like, oh, and I was like, and then we try to look even, we'll tell our friends to set us up. Like, you're like, oh my God, that guy's so hot. Say something. Like, Stacey, say something funny. Say something funny. So we're like, ha, 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 ha. That's what it looks like up close. My boss, she's smiling. She's so happy. Kill me! When you first start dating, like, you're doing cute things, right? You're walking around on the balls of your feet so he can't see your butt flat foot because it looks like a walnut. I know. Walking around, you got your shorts rolled down. You're 35. What are you going to fucking cheer camp? Roll them up! And then there are the clothes you wear when you're by yourself! Ah! He doesn't know! You think we stay hot. You're like, oh, babe, have a good day. You're like, oh my God, have an amazing day. The second we lock that door, we're like, off to the kitchen! The kitchen! Like a fucking pumpkin at midnight. Like, ah! Just walking around your house. When he's there, you put on like a push-up bra. When the boyfriend's around, you're in a push-up bra in your own home. You're just sitting there watching House Hunters like. Girls, when you live alone and you get home, what's the first thing you do? Take off your phone. Just walking around like an orangutan. Standing there eating ham out of a bag over the sink. Just thinking about how thin you're gonna be when you stop eating ham out of a bag over the sink. So gross. We're so gross. But like so fun. That's the thing. That's the thing that's been on my mind a lot. Just the idea of how much women think about losing weight. And you can lie and be like, I'm a good feminist. I don't think about it. And I call fucking bullshit, okay? Be an honest feminist, all right? We think about it a lot. It's like a disease in our country. We think about it so much. I was with my boyfriend the other day. We're walking. And he said, this is us walking. And he like tells me some like serious story about his parents' divorce. And it was really hard. And I'm like going through the motions of listening. And my face looked like I'm listening. But inside, I swear you guys, all I was thinking was like, I'm going to get so thin this summer. Like, that's all I care about. And it's not enough to be thin, right? You gotta be, because our society hates women so much, you gotta be thin. Like, you gotta be the kind of thin where it's like, what up, bitches? Find me. Like, that kind of thin. And it's an exhausting thing. So what I will say is this. Your bodies are perfect. They really are. I looked at everyone coming in. No one's weird. It's always one girl in the back with, like, a horn. Like, what about me? Not you. I'm gonna body, get rid of it. You're gonna cause an accident. Okay? Your bodies are perfect, and it's this sickness. We're so consumed with becoming this perfect version of a photoshopped image that actually doesn't exist. And the kicker is the things that upset us about our bodies, men typically don't even notice. The things that, if you ever fucked a dude, or you're gonna fuck one tonight, I see some tall beings in the crowd. They're like, she brought me here. If you've done, I really wanna fuck later. So I didn't know what this was. It's like, it's my sister. But if you've ever been with any guy, you've got a boyfriend or whatever, he didn't care about the shit that you don't like. You're like, my thighs jiggle. He's like, are you gonna keep breathing during sex? You're like, yeah. You're like, great, that's all I need. That holds up in court. That's all. You showed up, you gave him somewhere warm to park it, like he's fine. But look at this, look, he's not gonna care, okay? They don't, and also, by the way, the things that we hate about our bodies, like girls, have you ever seen a scrotum? What the fuck is that? I can't have this, but you have two dead baby birds hanging from your penis. And that's cool. I can't have the cellulite that every other woman has, but you have two Klingons. Like, just, and notice every guy here is laughing because men aren't taught to scrutinize their bodies. Every guy here is like, it's super gross. Want it on your face for free? I did it. Take a page from that book. And we have this emphasis in our country on being thin, right? Like, like thin. And I thought about it for a very long time. I was like, why the emphasis on thin? Why is that the preferred aesthetic in America? Because you go to like South America, like shit's just hanging out. People are just like fucking in the sun. Orale. Like, it's fine. It's not a big deal. But here, it's emphasis on thin. And I thought about it. And it's because in America in particular, men find vulnerability very attractive. Thin represents vulnerability. When you're thin, my bones, I can't open this jar. Please open this. And men are very action-oriented creatures. They like to help. You're like, help, my leg is caught in a bear trap. I'm like, I'll save you. And they come in. They like to help. As a woman, we're very cerebral. We're like, I just want to talk about the bear trap. Please, please listen to me. They find it attractive when you need help. It's attractive when a woman's in distress so they can physically aid you. That's why the term is damsel in distress, not overly opinionated dyke who needs a fucking hand. That's why it's that. That's why it's always a beautiful princess trapped in a tower or a lovely maiden tied to the train tracks. It's never some thick bitch named Linda like, grab me those jumper cables. Let's go. Come on. Hustle. Thin is attractive to them because when you're thin, there's no fat on your body. When there's no fat on your body, you're cold. And when you're cold, you stay inside. And when you stay inside, you don't vote. Ah! Perfect crowd for that joke. I wrote that joke before the election, but I feel like it holds up. Look, comedy is all about authenticity, and honestly, I can only speak with authenticity from my own perspective. I am an upper middle class white woman. God, I hope I die that way. But the expectation of being that sort of rail thin is one that's especially put upon white women and has been for about the last 50 years. Not thin, we're talking like garden party, like nipples to belt buckle, like crackers, like that kind of thin. And it was only in the last 30 years that women of color and women of other ethnicities rose to prominence and made it socially acceptable to have the body of a grown woman. Like Jennifer Lopez came out of nowhere with the backside of a brontosaurus, like, que paso. And like, it became okay. And somewhere in our social conversation with every human wanting to be, God forbid, treated like a human, it became okay to say to white women, to our faces, you're fat. Fucking kill yourself, Suzanne. Like, it became okay to say it because we're white, so life must be easy, which it is for sure. Some of you know. It's great. It's great. The coupons, it's great. But it also became okay because nobody is afraid of the clapback from a white girl. If you watch Snapped, you fucking would be. But in general, demographically, we're not known for having any heat. We're not spicy. There's no heat in our hearts. And here's a scoop of Breyers vanilla bean ice cream. Like the non-dairy. Demographically, you go up to a white woman, go up to 100 white women and be like, you look fat. 50% of us will take it lying down like, I'm sorry, Chad. Please get back in the kayak. I brought Jenga. For such an unfairly treated portion of our society, you know who has an unshakable sense of self-esteem? Black women. Like, literally, but like literally all of them. Now, the reason it seems or is the fact that black women have such a high sense of self-esteem is because so many hundreds of years in our society, they've been treated like third-class citizens. So if they ever wanted any sort of self-esteem boost, they had to look from within. That's a whole other TED talk. My point is, because of that, because of being hardened to society's slings and arrows, you can't tell a sister on her something doesn't look good. It won't faze her. Try it. Go up to a black chick. I dare you. Go up to a black chick and be like, I don't like those jeans. Watch her expression and learn from it, because your opinion... Go up to any black chick and be like, I don't like those jeans. She'd be like, bullshit, I see you looking. I think that's my time. Thanks for having me, you guys.
Give it up for Eliza Schlesinger!
You just heard Eliza Schlesinger, Fred Armisen, and Naomi Ekperigin.
Two Dope Queens is produced by Joanna Solitaroff, What Up Girl, Jen Point, Hey Hey Hey, Paula Schumann, Yo Yo Yo, and Rachel Neal, Hey Boo Hey. Our team includes Joe Plord, Matt Boynton, Ed Haber, George Wellington, Isaac Jones, and Shanoa Estrada. Our theme music was composed by Jeff Brodsky. Jeff, call me Boo.
Kit, y'all. K-I-T. That's short for keep in touch.
Church, oh my God, touch. I hate you.
Anyway, I know. I'm sorry. Follow us on Facebook, though. That's where you get all the updates on season 4. Plus, find out what the queens are up to. Hack us. That's short for have a kick-ass summer, y'all.
And I got a quick question for you guys before you go. Is it the end of season 3 and you still have not subscribed or rated us or written a review? Come on, people. Get with it. What have you been doing with your life? What else is more important than this show? Your pending divorce?
Jesus.
Your big move to Paris?
Dark.
Your kids' soccer games? I don't fucking think so, dog. So get on it.
Really dark stuff.
I'm just kidding. I love you guys the most. Well, not the most. I love my parents the most. This has been a great season. You guys have been fantastic. We love you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Seriously, thank you.
Bye, Q. Bye. Plus, we've got Naomi. Oh,
good,
fuck.
Good.
Joke on a bitch.
Don't let that.
Plus,
nope.
Ah, fuck.
I was going to be gross. It's okay.
What were you going to say? Let's hear it.
Don't let that cum hit your throat on the way down, bitch.
Oh, my God.
That's because he said choke on it. I was trying to riff. I hated it. I don't want to support the patriarchy like that.
That was so intense.
I know.
That was like Pornhub intense.
It was really like Pornhub, like, comment section tense.
This WNYC Studios podcast is supported by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. When it comes to the big decision of choosing a mortgage lender, work with one that has your best interests in mind. Visit quickenloans.com/WNYC for more information. NMLS consumeraccess.org number 3030.